Welcome to an exclusive SearchDataManagement.com podcast. Today, we're bringing you a podcast briefing about governance, risk and compliance software trends, and best practices. I'm Catherine Marquis, Assistant Editor. With regulations imposed by the Sarbanes-Oxley Act of 2002 directing how organizations manage and report their financial data, companies today face the issue of how to meet strict requirements regarding governance, risk and compliance, also referred to as GRC. To meet such requirements, many organizations are turning to software. In today's discussion, we will learn more about GRC software, including what it does, who needs it, and more. We'll also discuss best practices for meeting compliance requirements and where the GRC software market might be in the near future. Today, I'm speaking with Michael Rasmussen. Michael is the founder of Corporate Integrity LLC, a leader in education, research, analysis, and advisory services monitoring the challenges and trends of the business roles accountable for corporate GRC. Thank you for sharing your insight today with us, Michael. First, let's set a baseline for this discussion. Briefly, how do you define governance, risk, and compliance?
Defining governance, risk, and compliance can be very challenging. I know because I've been steeped in this area for about 5 years. Actually, I was noted as the first analyst to define a market for products and professional services and give it the label GRC, governance, risk, and compliance. Unfortunately, it's being misdefined by a lot of organizations because a lot of organizations want to state that it's about technology. And while I will adamantly and very strongly state that technology is a fundamental foundation of governance, risk, and compliance. Governance, risk, and compliance, first and foremost, is about collaboration. It's about breaking down walls and silos within the business and getting risk to start to talk to legal, to start to talk to compliance, to start to talk to audit and IT and finance breaking down all these little silos. It's about collaboration. It's about building a common process and approach and infrastructure for multiple governance, risk, and compliance assessments and reporting, and trying to really streamline and drive what I call sustainability, consistency, efficiency, and transparency in GRC processes. So technology itself is very important, but ultimately what really governance, risk, and compliance is all about, its definition, it's about getting the roles of governance, risk, and compliance to work together within the organization.
All right, so is there an ideal infrastructure for managing GRC, and what can organizations do to meet their compliance requirements?
Well, those are loaded questions. First off, an infrastructure, well, it has to start with some common processes and methodologies. And so from that standpoint, the organization is best served to do a gap analysis and find out what are the range of governance, risk, and compliance issues you face, and then what are a lot of the synergies and how can we approach building a common infrastructure. You know, one insurance company I was in, and this is just an example of many companies I've talked to, I went out and did an audit and assessment of their organization and found four different compliance projects within their organization looking at different technology vendors for the same functionality. And now they've streamlined that on one technology vendor. So it avoided some wasted resources and wasted spending. So basically, there is some common infrastructure for governance, risk, and compliance. It starts with content management. Every aspect of governance, risk, and compliance ends up being about some type of documentation of policies, procedures, controls, documentation of risks, and managing that and maintaining that content on a regular basis. This then is supported by workflow and business process management. It gets into continuous monitoring of the business transaction environment and controls, whether it's within the financial statements, whether it's in global trade compliance, environmental health and safety, a number of areas. It gets into a lot of other areas of technology that get specific to risk and compliance requirements. So there's different aspects of financial and treasury risk, credit market risk, that is. There's different aspects of operational risk. There's different areas of regulatory compliance. And each of those have their own little silos of technology and infrastructure. In fact, there's over 1,000 vendors that I monitor as an analyst and in the governance, risk, and compliance space. And half of those, you know, roughly break out to be technology vendors, another half professional services and consulting firms. And you have very niche products. You know, I know of one product out there that is specifically aimed at managing compliance to state laws for car sales in the states. So it's for car dealerships. You know, there's dozens of vendors aimed at brokerage and NASD regulations or board and entity management or credit or market risk. Your second question there, what can organizations do to meet compliance requirements? In general, it can be summarized in the United States Sensing Commission organizational sensing practices. And there's seven elements that the courts use to look at if you have a good compliance program that can have a direct impact on fines upon the organization or prison sentences of executives in criminal regulatory matters. But it's also very expansive because it's also the same seven elements you can find in Department of Health and Human Services and Department of Transportation, Department of Energy, the same seven elements that the United States Sensing Commission originally established. And that starts with, you know, defining your policies, procedures, and controls, so being able to document how you're going to be compliant. The second element is having somebody in charge, an oversight of compliance, so who's in charge of this area of compliance. The third is exercising due care and delegating authority, so making sure that you do proper background checks and that people have the proper access for what they're supposed to have and that they have the proper background, whether it's the ethical background or educational training background for the access that they're given to regulated information, processes, and areas. Then it gets into the fourth one would be regular training. And this is a big trend we're seeing right now is that compliance isn't just about having somebody sign off on a policy anymore, but you actually have to document that they've been trained. And some of the latest legislation, like the California's discrimination and harassment laws, that require every manager of California employees to go through 2 hours of training every 2 years. It specifically gets into the e-learning environment, the legislation, and saying that you can't fast-forward the e-learning module. It's got to be interactive, making sure that you avoid instances where people just put it on play and go and get a coffee, and things like that. Number five is making sure that you are properly monitoring your environment. Six gets into consistent disciplinary actions and making sure that you aren't favoring different individuals. And then the last point of the U.S. Sensing Commission guidelines makes sure that you're not a repeat offender, that you're learning from your lessons. So if you have a long history of the same offense, you're going to get the book thrown at you. So those are some common requirements that for compliance. Now, obviously, there are compliance requirements that get into very specific needs for data retention, like a lot of the NASD regulations around the brokerage industry to keep emails and so forth, and you have e-discovery requirements and litigation holds in different areas, and just a tremendous a variety of compliance requirements. But in general, if you wanted something across the board, I'd point to the United States Sensing Commission organizational sensing practices.
All right, so what exactly does GRC software do, and what are its primary functions?
Oh, that's a multifaceted question. It depends on the vendor you're looking at. You look at SAP and their GRC strategy, it's about monitoring and enforcing business rules and logic around business transactions. So SAP strategy is around financial transactions and global trade compliance, environmental health and safety, and those areas, and making sure that the transactions in the environment are appropriate and that they're within risk tolerance levels and that they're being managed to comply with laws and regulations. Other GRC vendors, you know, would be in the area of documentation of controls and policies and communication around those and with that training on policies and procedures. Other vendors get into continuous control monitoring and retention, data retention technologies. So it is quite varied. In fact, you know, nearly every IT vendor out there has some type of GRC message these days, it seems like.
Then who would need GRC software, or what kind of company does it benefit?
It benefits a variety of companies. It tends to be medium to large companies that are really investing in this. The smaller companies take more of an ad hoc approach just to put out the fire. It's larger companies that are starting to think about this more strategically. And it does cross industries. You know, there's a variety of GRC initiatives within pharmaceutical, insurance, banking, high-tech manufacturing, auto manufacturers. I've experienced quite the range of buyers for GRC software out there today.
So how has GRC software changed over the years to meet shifting organizational priorities?
That's an excellent question. You know, you go back, and a lot of this whole GRC stuff came about in the wake of Sarbanes-Oxley. And it first started off within the first couple of years of Sarbanes-Oxley to be about content management. And so you had a lot of the enterprise content management players and people that had strong content management capabilities jump in and stated, you know, we can help you document your control environment. Once people got that under hold, then they started looking at how can we drive some efficiencies here and automate this a little bit, and they started building in workflow and business process management capabilities to the point today where the next step is to really automate things and starting to implement business rules engines and continuous control monitoring to enforce controls within business processes. So that's sort of the ongoing evolution of GRC software that we've seen over the last 5 to 6 years.
Then how do you envision organizations will approach GRC in 5 or 10 years from now? And what can businesses do to ensure a smooth transition?
Well, right now we're still in a very ad hoc and repeatable, you know, low-level maturity stage for GRC. A lot of organizations are just trying to develop their strategy, and I know a lot of organizations that have excellent GRC strategies, but I couldn't point to any poster child to say this person's arrived there yet, because this is a long initiative. It ultimately comes down to four themes that organizations are trying to achieve. The first one, sustainability, that GRC issues, risk and compliance issues, are not going away. In fact, the one thing you can count on is there's going to be more regulations next year than there were this year. And so we're seeing more and more regulations pour out of governments. We're seeing a more complex risk environment, particularly from geopolitical risks, as organizations have re-engineered and outsourced and distributed operations on a global basis. And as they run lean and they deal with the different economic issues and everything, there's a lot of risk impacts that the organization face. And so you're seeing organizations saying, we need a more holistic view of risk and compliance processes, and therefore let's start implementing technology that can be leveraged across these silos. This is about breaking down silos. A lot of the challenge we see now is political infighting, that people see that this GRC initiative is, you know, the next step in the future. And I've seen several organizations where risk and compliance and IT and finance and audit are duking it out, trying to determine who's going to really run with this strategy and gain control of it.
All right, well, that wraps it up. Thank you, Michael. To learn more about Michael Rasmussen and Corporate Integrity LLC, visit their website at www.corp-integrity.com. That URL is also available on the searchdatamanagement.com download page for this podcast. I also want to remind listeners that Michael is the expert on searchdatamanagement.com's Ask the Expert panel, and you can send him your compliance questions anytime. And you can find more GRC, Sarbanes-Oxley, and compliance resources at searchdatamanagement.com. And as always, you can find this podcast and other data management podcasts in our podcast library. And remember to add searchdatamanagement.com RSS feed to your newsreader, subscribe to our email newsletters, and check back frequently for articles about MDM, BI, data warehousing, and many other data management topics. Thank you for listening to our podcast today. Signing off from Search Data Management, I'm Catherine Marquis.